This is part four, A Leprechaun Tree Grows in Orange County. My mother's brother, Father Ed Hogan, a Catholic priest, invited me to travel with him to Ireland in the winter of my 18th year. He would lead a retreat in County Tipperary, where some of our relations lived, and research further our Hogan family genealogy. On that chilly night when we boarded the plane, I thought of my own father and my mother, who had never been before to our ancestral homeland. I thought of old Father Quinn and his roses, and the Irish nuns at St. Hedwig's, and their long-gone wimples. I thought of my thick-brogued grandmother. I thought of my long-lost pen pal, Mary O'Connor from County Limavady. All of them I packed into my Samsonite suitcase as if we were sailing to the moon. When I landed in Ireland, my relations, in firm embrace, looked at me and said, "Welcome home." I understood welcome, but home? Home was 6,000 miles away, 30 miles from Hollywood, 10 miles from Disneyland, 5 yards from my old leprechaun tree. Or was it? Soon I met girls in the local village who had the same name, Mora. Close by, I found St. Conlon's Road. The men wearing tweed jackets and pea caps had the same ruddy complexions as my father. I saw women with the exotic almond shape of my mother's eyes. Still, I knew so little about these people, this place that all but one of my ancestors fled because of famine or poverty. I wanted to understand how I belonged. So I did what you do in places of silence, the thin spaces. I returned to the image. I became as the leprechaun tree, feeling my rootedness in this soil, fed by the lost stories of my ancestors. In that Ireland journal of 1978, I write, "Raindrops, Ireland becomes the flying spades of a waterfall, seeking a midnight puddle to rest their wetness upon, buds secretly opening up to receive a message from this womb sent rain." And then on another page from my journal, "Whatever you love in life, always be at peace with yourself to pursue that freedom and feel that love. Always notice the sky and her belongings. Always notice the water and her reflections. This way you see almost everything. Finally, see into yourself and find the mirror of your people." During that first trip to Ireland, I witnessed the roll of donkey carts and the spread of quaint thatched roofs. One of my elderly relatives still had the thatch, living in an old cottage where a peat-burning stove provided the only heat, never quite enough in the dead of an Irish winter. We visited another elderly cousin, Queenie, who pulled out an accordion and led us in song, sweet and sad. Then we drove out to rural West Clare to visit my grandmother's youngest sister, my great-aunt Johanna. She still lived on the family homestead where my grandmother was born and raised. Driving on small, winding roads, we asked many farmers if they knew the McMahons of Mullug. They all did, pointing toward the next helpful landmark along the way. How different this was. People stitched to a place. The winds howled, and the rain fell in perpetual drizzle, and the cows hunched toward the grass. My great-aunt Johanna, her red hair peppered with gray, opened the door as if she were gazing out to the nearby Atlantic, watching ships disappear into the horizon. Her eyes then refocused, for this time one ship was coming back home. Aunt Johanna looked at me with the same waiting eyes of my father, as if she had been waiting 100 years, as if she had known me forever. In some way I felt she had, and that I had known her. I could barely understand her English, the vowels and consonants bound to their own Irish swirls. But in hearing the warmth of her voice, the mechanization of words seemed ancillary. She stared at the photos I brought of my family in California. I told her about my mother Mary, my father Joseph, her nephew, and my four siblings. I knew I was finding a lost piece of home, or perhaps a spindle. I'll continue more with The Leprechaun Tree Grows in Orange County.